life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 76 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is January the 19th, 2013, and joining us today is the secret of the Sailor Madness, Niall Flanagan and Dwayne Maloney.
Hello.
Oh. Double team.
Yeah.
Yes, we've got them both here this week, as one demanded to be let on.
Was it Niall or was it me?
It was you.
Oh, okay.
You were the one who sent me an email saying, can I come on? Because I hadn't got your email, so, and you'd not been on before, so I'd only sent an email out to everybody who'd been on before.
Well, I'd heard you were doing JoJo's, so I was kind of like, yeah, I got to get in there.
Yes, and this episode is going to be about the first 9 episodes of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure TV, which takes up the first four volumes,
I think.
Of the comic Phantom Blood.
I'm not sure if it's 4 or 5. I think it kind of...
It's 43 chapters, I know that, because I've written that notes later on.
I have a funny feeling that the fifth thing actually jumped into the second arc. The fifth volume. Something like that, anyway.
So 47 chapters, yes. That's...
Yeah.
But first, our regular features. First up is the UK anime releases for the coming week. And there is, three this time. Though one is... the same thing twice in 2 different formats. First up is The World God Only Knows Season 2. Anyone watch Season 1?
Nope.
I don't know what that is.
It's a show about a guy who's really good at playing dating video games. And he's employed by, I can't remember, demons or angels, something or other, too. It's kind of like a... magical girl type plot, but with
porno.
Some sort of otaku stuck in as the lead character.
Yeah. It reminds me more of the film The Wizard. where the kid's really good at playing NES games and he goes to compete in the big NES game competition.
Yeah, I think that is actually on Netflix. Well, it has been in the past, but I've never seen it. It's one of those films I know about from websites and podcasts talking about it all the time.
It was a big ad for Mario 3.
And the power glove.
Yes.
And the power glove.
Oh, the glove. The glove.
Oh, it's
with
all bad.
Fred Savage from The Wonder Years.
Yep, playing a 30-year-old child again.
And then the other two releases are Code Geass Lelouch of the Rebellion Season 1, which comes out on DVD and on Blu-ray. Anyone ever watch Code Geass? It's one of those things which is super popular that I've never seen.
Yeah, same here. It's political and stuff, isn't it? Or...
Yes, it's... I think it was on Helen McCarthy's blog. She was pointing out that basically it's getting to write about Japanese behaviour in the past, but by putting it onto a pretend British Empire doing it to the Japanese rather than the Japanese doing it to all their neighbours instead.
Interesting. Yeah. I watched it, and I'm a fan, so it's when it was coming out, like, back in the day, and I really liked Season 1. There was, Luce, the main character, he's not, like, a kind of kick-ass robot pilot. He just has, like, his wits, and he just, like, gets other people to do his kind of dirty work for him. And in Season 1, there's, like, really great cliffhangers. I was looking forward to Season 2, and then Season 2 just completely fecked everything up.
So do you think Season 1's good enough for people to check it out?
I get Season 1, all right. There's, it's a sunrise show, so they have, like, pretty cool robots. They're all going around on, like, roller skates and things. It's pretty cool.
And, of course, it's got Clamp character design as well.
Ah, yes. How could I forget?
That's the other big selling point, I think. It's pretty, £26 it is on Amazon. On Blu-ray.
For the second or the first?
Yeah, this is the first one. I don't know what the plans are for the second. But that's your lot for UK anime releases for this coming week. So our next feature is, of course, What You Watch.
What You Watch.
As we have guests. So, Dwayne, you've never been on before. So, Dwayne, What You Watch.
What You Watch.
What you been watching?
Well, recently I found out a thing called Starfleet existed, so I got that for myself on DVD.
That is my childhood.
Yeah, watching it, I was like, I would have freaking loved the shit out of this if I was, if I'd watched it back then. It's pretty good now, though.
Yeah, it was much loved.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I only kind of wish it had the old-fashioned 80s animation, but I do appreciate the Thunderbirds puppets.
Are they Thunderbirds? Aren't they operated from bottom down rather than top up?
Yeah, I think they're closer to...
Bottom down?
Yeah, so the mechanisms are going up through their bodies. Hmm. So you never see their legs. Like, in Thunderbirds, you see their legs
because
they're marionettes.
I think it's similar to some of the stuff they use for Captain Scarlet because, you know, it has, well, I want to say better facial animation kind of stuff, but it's not really better. Well, I don't know.
It's got better character design. It's not like, probably with Captain Scarlet is everyone kind of looked the same, but with a different color skin tone or hair or hat.
Everyone in Captain Scarlet looked like the handsome actors of the day, whereas Barry Hercules has to be my favorite character. I did notice when watching it, his hair is made of sponge. Which I find is brilliant. Afro.
Or stone, maybe stone.
It's a pop filter for a microphone.
Yeah, a little bit. Other than that, the only thing I've been catching up on is watching Danger Man on YouTube. Because I meant to get back into that. You know that, no?
Was that the old Patrick McGowan?
Yes. I kind of like my old spy stuff. It's good fun.
Yeah, they used to repeat that on Channel 4 way when I was a little kid, but I don't really recall much of it.
You know, just kind of a half an hour spy setup where he's to pretend to be someone else or extradite someone from something, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, other than that, I've been playing the exact same game as Niall. Niall, what? I think you know what it is.
Oh, yes. Hooked up Dwayne here at Christmas with Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this? You know what it is?
I'm aware of it, yes. Lots of people on Twitter I follow are in love with it.
Yeah, but it's a pretty good game. I love it so much.
I'm not sure if it's like beaten wife syndrome, because the game does not like me, and yet I am starting to like it more and more.
It's a good way to play it.
See, that's why I've never played it, because it looks like that. I don't want to play it. At this point, I don't want to play any game which is too hard.
I've only heard it's as hard as you make it for yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's more challenging than difficult, and it's not a game for you if you're a stubborn person. You gotta learn from your mistakes. If you're trying to get past this area or this boss and you see your approach right now isn't working, you're gonna have to realize that it's not going to work, so you gotta try it from a different angle. You gotta have, like, your one approach may not work the same for a given situation, so you gotta vary your strategy over the course of the game.
Mm. It's a kind of thing of mastery as well, where you're kind of fighting the same enemies in the same area, which sounds boring, but you learn their patterns and how they fight, and you kind of use that to your advantage. And areas where you've been getting your ass kicked every single time before, you'll run through without a scratch now. It's satisfying.
Hmm.
I was going to pick it up, but it wasn't as cheap as I'd hoped in the Steam sale.
No, not really. I guess people are just willing to pay full price for it up front because they hear about how acclaimed it is. And you are getting value for your money, in fairness. It's going to be a while trying to get through this.
Oh, yeah. Mm. What's Demon's Souls? Is that...
That was like kind of a prototype. It's kind of a less refined Dark Souls. It was like a PS3 exclusive game.
Mm.
Same kind of premise, you know. If you get killed, you know, you'll come back to life, but you had to make your way back to your body to get your basically get your money back, your souls in fact. But I think in Demon's Souls, whenever you died, you had to like escape the underworld before you got back to like the physical plane. Whereas in Dark Souls, you just like respawn on a physical plane immediately after you die.
As a zombie.
Yeah.
I still have trouble with turning back into a human in that game. I don't quite understand how the humanity thing, which again is a currency, it's strange. Yeah.
Well, you only need it to either boost up the bonfires, which is kind of like your checkpoint for you, like level up and heal and stuff. or to, if you're playing it online, to summon other players, if you see there's someone on the ground, and to see the messages and things.
Hmm. Also, you can't see the messages if you're...
Oh, actually, no, yeah, no, you can see messages and things, but you can't summon anybody.
Ah, right, got you. Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, give it a go.
And what else have you been watching, Niall?
The other weekend, catching up with some films I didn't see last year in 2012. So I got to see Paranorman, which is like a stop-motion animation film from the crowd that did Coraline.
Oh, I love Coraline. I love that film.
I kept meaning to see it in the cinema, but I missed it.
Yeah, it's happened to me. I feel bad now for not seeing the cinema when I could, because... it was like criminally overlooked by a lot of people. They were all over Brave, new Pixar film, and this barely even got any notice. I went.
Is it as good as Coraline?
I actually haven't seen Coraline all the way through. It was a long time. I know.
It's so good.
Yeah, but this was fantastic. So I must track down Coraline and see it myself.
I'll track down Paranorman when I find him. And then watch them. And then watch them hard.
And what about you, Anthony?
Well, usually I'm pretty rubbish, but I have been coming in from work and playing games every night, but I did manage to watch episode one of that Roman show. I'm not going to try and pronounce its full name, but the new anime from the new season. And it's alright. I heard a lot of negative thoughts on Twitter about it from people, and I thought, nah, can't be true. And it's great all the way through, and it's obviously set in this, like, you know, this feudal Japan kind of samurai setting kind of thing. And then they start adding a little bit of technology into it, and then that's a bit I don't like.
I like
it. But you're the opposite.
You're the opposite. You said it went bonkers at the end.
I don't know.
See, what kind of technology? Like, steampunk Romans?
No.
It's like, I don't even know. He gets Tron lights on him.
Yeah, he gets
robots.
And it's got one of the best depictions of a zombie I've ever seen in anything.
There's a German doctor who's got a zombie assistant. In fact, I think he's got three.
Yeah, by the end of the episode, he's got like three or four, yeah.
And he's one of the good guys.
I mean, it's good. I really liked it, but I don't know, I would have liked it to have stayed within its own setting rather than kind of...
Once he's got the dream sequence where he's wandering around in a modern suit.
Yeah, I could excuse that.
That was kind of the point at which I figured, oh yeah, there's going to be a degree of anachronism going on here.
It is good, though.
I gotta give this a look. It sounds...
Oh, it's worth watching that. There's a little cute dog. If you like cute animated dogs, then this is for you. It's very good. So I don't understand what all the negative thoughts were on Twitter, to be honest. So, they don't know nothing. And that's all I've watched. I have watched 24 minutes of something this week. The rest of it has been sleep, eat, work, and League of Legends. That's all I've done.
I've got a Bradley C. Meek-sized What You Watch here.
Oh, goodness.
I'll go through them briefly. I watched the New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom 7 iPay-per-view. Which was great, which by the time you're hearing this, you won't be able to buy it anymore because it was only up for a limited period. But, about almost 5 hours worth of wrestling. Most of it top notch.
And you watched it all in one?
I went about 4.5 hours and that was about all I could take. So I watched the final match, a different day. But yeah, that's well worth seeking out through whatever means necessary to watch. There's some crazy stuff, like they do, like full music entrance, like the performer of the entrance music appearing on the stage and performing as the person's entering for a couple of people. then I tried to watch Spaceballs on Netflix.
Why did you try?
I don't know, because I thought I ought to be getting something out of Netflix, otherwise I should be cancelling it. However, Spaceballs is not the thing. I never saw Spaceballs when I was a kid, but I know lots of people who did, and they love it, and they quote it. I think, unless you've seen it as a kid, don't watch it, because it is just dreadful. It's even worse than my dad.
Maybe.
It's not Mel Brooks' best. That'd be like Blazing Saddles or Robin Hood Men in Tights, I think.
What? Robin Hood Men in Tights? Get out of here. No, it's Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein.
Well, yeah, that's true as well.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I just really like there's a lot of great performances in Men in Tights.
That's the first time those words have all appeared in a sentence
together. No! How much Dwayne? Men in Tights cracks me up.
Yeah, no, it's pretty funny, dude.
Lend me your ears. That is one of the funniest things
so good.
I've ever seen.
I also rewatched UHF, which does kind of hold up. It's not as funny as I remember, but it's still watchable.
Oh my god, I watched that on Netflix as well. It's weird.
UHF? What the hell's that?
It's the Weird Al film.
Oh, nice.
It's got some funny jokes, but...
Yeah, it's got some sketches, and what's his face? The guy from the first Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Kevin McCarthy, is the bad guy. He's excellent in it. It's watchable. It's more watchable than Spaceballs. I watched the first two episodes of Cuticle Detective Inaba.
Ah,
how'd that go?
The first episode suffers a little because it's got... It's split up into like two half episodes, so each story takes up half an episode. So the first one suffers a bit because it's got to introduce so many characters, but after that, it's pretty great, and the second episode's hilarious all the way through. It's got some very silly gags.
Does it, like, calm down at all? Because what I've been getting is that it's just, like, manic, it's just, like, funny, 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 wacky, 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 and it doesn't even stop to breathe. Just, like, calm down and kind of...
Yeah, that's about it. And loads of Fujoshi bait in it as well.
Oh, dear.
Give it a miss. Thank you for it.
It's got a goat in a cape as the villain.
It's got a cat boy as the hero.
It's a dog boy.
Is it? Oh, well.
Yeah.
I also watched the first two episodes of Man Girl.
I know what that is, but I keep laughing at that name.
Which, because after it turned out to only be three minutes long, it suddenly became a lot more interesting to me. Yeah, it's quite funny. It's kind of like almost like an educational thing in showing how a comic is made. Well, a comic is made, but actually how a manga volume is published. Yeah. Sort of how a manga company is run.
There's a lot of that going around, Eddie, with, like, Bakuman and stuff like that.
The only problem is the characters. I couldn't after watching two episodes, I still couldn't remember any of the characters' names. That was the only downside, I thought.
I'm like that after, like, 30 episodes.
Of a full-length show.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. I just don't take in names. I never do.
But I couldn't remember Poyo Poyo. That was easy. I remember everybody's name in Poyo Poyo.
What's the cat called again?
Episode 17 of Kamen Rider Wizard. Kamen Rider Wizard suddenly got awesome as Kamen Rider Beast appeared, who is basically Joseph Joestar from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
To the extent of even ripping off one of his the gimmick he has of saying what the villain's going to say next. And I've been playing Far Cry 3. Everything which people have complained about the story is correct. It is awful.
What, that you're like a white dude helping out black people because they can't do it similar
Ignoring even sort of the, any sort of race issues going on in it. The writing is just horrible and the acting's horrible.
I've heard it's fantastic.
To the extent where I've had to, you can't skip cutscenes, so I've now taken to walking out the room while it's going on.
Go to the bathroom.
See, I remember watching the E3 stuff, and it was awesome. It looked awesome.
It's for morons. It's the idea, it's an adolescent idea of what a mature video game should be like.
Ah, like a 90s comic.
Yes, yeah, that's pretty much. It's like, yeah, to the point where it even starts quoting Lewis Carroll at you at one point on loading screens. And that was the point I thought, this is like reading a really bad Vertigo comic from the 90s.
Is at least the gameplay good?
Oh, the gameplay is excellent.
Oh, okay.
Except in all the story levels.
Story levels.
So whenever because when you're doing like the free, the sandbox type stuff, you're free to do stuff however you like. And you can sort of level up your guy and get him new talents and new weapons and la 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 la. That's great. But then you'll be excellent in all your free world stuff. And then you'll do one of the story missions and all of a sudden you're incompetent and have to use all some different weapons than the ones you'd normally pick.
I didn't have you down as a Far Cry guy.
Nor did I, but it was half price, so...
Yeah. Oh, Steam sale?
No. Half price Xbox.
Ah.
I think it was £23 or something I got it for.
I spent far too much on the Steam sale. You don't want to talk about it.
But what you do want to talk about is the episode you picked for...
Do I really?
The weekly retro recap. And your choice from last week was Please Twins Episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
So tell the audience all about Please Twins Episode 1.
Well, it follows the life of a young high school boy named Kamishiro Maiku, who lives at home in a little house there in Japan, and he's got this photograph of him as a young child and a girl. And then all of a sudden, two girls turn up on his doorstep, and they claim to be his twin sister from the picture. They both have a copy of the picture, and, you know, they want to move in, and that's it. That's all there is to it.
That is literally it.
And there's not even that... In the first episode, there's a few little hijinks with catching them in the shower or in the bathhouse and towels dropping off, but I don't even know. I don't even know whether there's anything to hate about the show. I don't know whether there's anything I love about the show. It's just there. At least that's how it feels. Yeah, that's episode one, though. So it's, I don't know. It's early to say.
That was how it felt to me as well. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
Not at all.
In no way was it as good as it could have been.
Do you think it's because with your average anime season these days, something completely more repugnant, like levels of power more repugnant comes out like every other season about this kind of thing?
That's probably true.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I would kind of like to watch more of it because I don't know whether it's going to go pervy. Because it seems like it could go either way. It's like it's literally on a fine wire at the moment. And I did happen to Google one of the sisters' names, and there's a lot of hentai amidst the two sisters, which presumably aren't sisters. And I don't even know what's going to happen, whether... You know, which one's the twin sister, which one's not. I don't even know. And, there's aliens as well, apparently. There's little alien creature.
It's a sequel to Please Teacher.
Yeah.
Which, the gimmick of that is the teacher's an alien. And she shows up and some other characters show up in this first episode.
Ah, yeah. I remember seeing Please Teacher getting thrown around back in the day.
Yeah, because I think the UFO, they're all drawn
that's
to
what
this
triggers,
town.
Yeah,
yes, because I think that's from the first series, is them reporting on that.
And that's how the twins, the sisters anyway, see this house, and they're like, that house is the one from the picture.
Yeah. Though one of the twins appears to have an alien with her. A tiny alien. Which
a grey, or...?
No, just like a tiny mascot-type, cute-designed...
It's a little kind of a bobblehead dude. I watched this as well just to see what was going on with it.
I've actually seen a few episodes of this years ago, and I can't remember at all what happens. So maybe that says a lot about what's come. I mean, I might just have a read through the plot and see who's the twin and who's not.
Oh, well, don't do that in case we want to watch the second episode. So do you want to watch the second episode?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to say let's watch the second episode next.
Yes!
Yeah.
These twins.
I'll say this, though. The mystery can be solved pretty quickly with a simple DNA test.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Let's call Jeremy Kyle. Come on, get him in on this.
Oh, God.
He doesn't know that.
It's all right. As I say, it's nothing too good. It's nothing too bad. It's just there. So, yeah. Next week, episode 2.
Out of curiosity, how long does a blood test take? Like a week or so?
It takes about 13 episodes.
Oh, I hope that's not what happens.
12 episodes and no OV, I think.
Oh, that would be OV then if we get as far as that.
Lazy scientists.
They lost the beaker.
But yeah, don't even bother Googling it, like searching it on Google. You'll just be... stuff will just be poured at you. Lots of hentai. Just, amazing amounts.
Well, you could say that of anything, though.
Yeah, you could say that of what we're going to talk about next.
But, oh, I could Google image this, but I would dread to know now.
Well, at the moment on Tumblr, it's loads of pictures of Joseph in his dress.
Yeah. Lots and lots of that.
I kept finding ones of a gender reverse Dio on JoJo. It was very strange. But they were still muscly, of course.
But yes, we're going to be talking now about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure TV, Phantom Blood. Right, this is based on a manga by Hirohiko Araki. It is directed by Kenichi Suzuki and Naokatsu Suda. Animation, direction, and character design are by Takako Shimizu, is written by Yasuko Kobayashi, and the music is by Hayato Masuda. In the 19th century England, the heir to the Joestar name, Jonathan Joestar, finds himself in fierce competition with the ambitious commoner, Dio Brando, for the affections of his father. However, the mysterious stone mask on the wall of the Joestar family mansion takes their rivalry in a bizarre direction.
Ooh. And that's a good synopsis.
That is a good synopsis.
That's how you do a good... Do you read that from somewhere?
No, I wrote that myself. Remember, I spent 3 years having a job writing synopses.
Yeah. I might go into a synopses training group, see what I can learn from them.
Well, yeah, well, we had to do it at university as well, because I was doing a science degree. You get taught how to do praises, so you'll take, like, a paper and be told to boil it down to 200 words or something. Which set me in good stead for writing video and film synopses. Yes, so JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. What does everyone think about it, first off?
As the thing overall?
These 9 episodes, did you enjoy them? Were they what you were expecting? Were they let down?
Well, I say this much now. By rights, this needs a bigger budget. it is made for a spare change out of somebody's back pocket. And it's kind of, I mean, I can remember it's been brought to the screen like, three times before. They did it twice for the part 3, of George's Bizarre Adventure, and it did like, I think it was a movie of this arc as well. And, those looked pretty good, so I thought maybe it might go for something of a similar quality for a TV series, but I guess that was then, this is now, and they're doing the best they can, I suppose. Like, if we're going to have lots of still shots of a character here the inner monologue, we're going to at least put, like, a load of crazy colour filters and sound effect letters on the screen. I say this as well now, like, the pace doesn't really let up, and they waste no time getting to the good stuff.
I think you were saying about that, Brian, it's really refreshing that it doesn't spend, like, 3 episodes doing a single fight or anything, you know? It's just go, go, go.
I felt it starts so good, and then it goes, and then it ends with an okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel it gets, then goes, But it starts so well. That's one of the best first episodes to introduce anyone. That I've ever seen.
See the rapid pace, it's great earlier on.
That's unbelievable.
But then it never slows down. And so, pivotal moments, they lack dramatic weight then afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, at the final confrontation with Dio, I mean, that's over, we watched this over in like, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. It had to be like an episode long, like, scrap going on. But no, it's done and dusted in that length.
I'm kind of pleased. It's not the final confrontation.
Well, the final quote unquote final.
Yeah, the final confrontation does actually take a full episode, just about, really.
Mm.
That's why I kind of am forgiving it, because it's it is kind of setting itself up as the first part of an epic saga. It'd be kind of like Lord of the Rings. Oh man, that film ended like a real downer, you know.
And also, I think it's not really doing much different from the pacing of the comic, as far as I could tell.
No, it's fairly close to the manga, right?
Yeah. So I think some of its weaknesses are probably weaknesses which were there, just being his earliest work in this series.
maybe. I just remember when I was reading it, I feel like it was taking longer. I'm a pretty fast reader when it comes to manga. I just felt like it felt longer.
Mm. Well, I've read a little bit of the early chapters and stuff, and I know exactly what you mean. I'm pretty quick once I get into something, but the fact that it's all done in like 23 minutes or 20 minutes of the first episode, it's like, whoa. that's a few chapters, just bang, gone. This can be done in like 3 episodes at this pace. And then it's, as soon as they start heading through the mountain pass.
Yeah, it does get kind of rushed there, alright. Mm. Which is a bit unfortunate. I know what you're saying, Niall, about the look of it. I think they kind of went with, trying to get the style right, trying to get the look of it right, rather than get the kind of movement and the kinetic, feel of it. You can either do one or the other, unless you have the money, in which you can do both.
Yeah. In fairness, there's in places this is no better than like what you call those video comics or whatever they are.
Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I kind of like the look of it. I don't know. It seems. I'm not gonna say wholesome because it's certainly not, but I don't know. It's far from wholesome, but I don't know, it kind of does, as you mentioned, it does what it does well, but I don't know, I kind of like it. It looks different from a lot of stuff, so it certainly stands out, maybe for wrong reasons in a sense, but I think I can kind of pulls it off.
Yeah, wow. I like it a lot. Probably by the sounds of things more than you three.
I absolutely think it's fantastic. It's just it has these flaws that kind of keep hold it back a little, but I love it. I think it's great.
I think they make that flaw into a positive. I think they do the best they anyone could do with whatever budget they're working with. I think they, because through through color design, through the sound, through using, so let's say the manga sound effects.
Yeah,
they have to see them.
Yeah, they're like a great little touch, and they just, I mean, like I was saying, they just add so much to even like the little still shots. They're brilliant.
It's kind of nice. Maybe it's because of the limited budget, but since you can't do the animation, you kind of fill up the screen with these. Well, you help fill out the screen with these sound effects, and it really adds a lot to the mood, bizarrely.
And it's, I think they tend to. They also use the advertising break for cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Where the most shows would, because they're going through the stuff so quickly. But yeah, so where do you think it starts? So you say when they go into the mount, into whatever town it's called.
It's kind of, it's the end of, you know, when Jack the Ripper turns up. Like, I can deal with that part.
Sorry, just that sentence.
I know it's ridiculous, but it works in this world. But
that is not even as ridiculous as to how he turns up when he meets the guy.
It is one entrance.
Yeah.
If only the Japanese wrestlers could come in like this.
Oh, that was perfect. It was, yeah.
And then from there, it goes off a little bit, and I don't know. One of the things I was surprised at is Jonathan Joestar. I don't know whether I like him or not. There's times I think, oh, he's such an awesome character, then I think, he's so crap. And I don't think his dress sense helps either.
It's a bit of a big issue, to be fair.
I don't know. I want to love him, but I can't.
Listen, I get if he's the super nice guy, and you're not really into that, but his fashion sense is impeccable.
Oh my god, his dress sense is something else.
I really wish that that Sherlock Holmes hat, cape, held in place with a bow tie was his regular look. Oh my god, I've never seen the like.
It's crazy. But no, I like the whole nice guy hero and stuff like that, but there's times I know he's meant to be a bit dense, or at least, well, he certainly comes across a bit. I don't know, he's just, I don't want to go into battle tendency, so I'll not, but I don't know. I think he could be a better hero.
He's a Victorian gentleman.
He's certainly a gent. I mean,
he's quiet and reserved.
For a giant muscly man, yes.
Perhaps I was expecting it, seeing a bit of Fist of the North Star before seeing this. I was expecting him to be more of a Kenshiro kind of guy.
Yeah, but fucking like Kenshiro, if he'd, what's his character? He just either quiet, contemplative.
Yeah.
It is good with kids, and then just flick the button to kill crazy mode.
Yeah, he is literally what his character design shows you about. He is Kenshiro in a sleeveless jumper.
Yeah, so...
Which is basically what he's dressed for the second half of the show.
I mean, do you even have a scene where his shirt explodes off his body? I mean, that's definitely a homage.
Oh my god, yes. I kind of like the contrast with Kenshiro, because, like you say, Noel, Kenshiro's all quiet and calm, but he will totally threaten and then murder you. But Jojo is kind of more, he'll be polite and is like, I can't kill you because you have a father and sisters and it's the gentlemanly thing to do to not kill you. Which is nice.
What about Dio? Dio Brando, the villain?
I've forgotten why I hated him so much until I watched this again. I was like, oh, he's such a dick.
I hate him, but I love
villain.
Him.
I'd grow to love him in the end.
No, but that's what I mean. He's a great villain because you love to hate him.
Yeah,
he's a dick for, like, really tiny, petty reasons half the time.
Oh.
Well, he had a bad upbringing, you know. It's not his fault, you know. It's society's fault.
No, he smells evil, and he was evil from the get-go.
That's true.
And he's pretty bad at finishing off a plan, though.
No, God, yeah, he can't really follow through at all.
No.
Oh. Yeah, and he does learn, like, a century later, when he's fighting the descendants in part three of this. He's learned by then, but, you know, he's still trying to get his head around this whole villain thing right now.
Maybe not go on so long with speeches to allow your enemy to start to execute their own cunning plan.
Yeah, that's a classic villain flaw, right?
Yes, but then admire the guy for being so cunning.
Oh, well done. You really fucked me up there.
I'm just remembering everything about the show. Some of the Speedwagon.
Ah, oh, Speedwagon.
I kind of remembered Speedwagon as the kind of extra character that is entirely unnecessary. And he is, but he's there to comment on stuff, and that's why he's great.
And to also say JoJo repeatedly.
JoJo!
Yeah,
he's kind of another moist being measured, but the show wouldn't be the same without him. But I was
Without
his panic yelling and describing every proceeding in a very eloquent manner, or his manly, tearful eulogies.
he does bring up the gay quotient considerably.
No. This is like, it's manly camaraderie.
Oh, it's manly love, so.
Oh, he's a good pal. He's a good pal.
They're heterosexual life partners.
Speedwagon, he's great. Although, he should have kept that hat, I'm just saying.
Which hat? The little bowler hat with the...
Yeah, the bowler hat.
Two bowler hats, maybe. I don't know where it is.
He's got his bladed bowler hat, then he moves to the top hat, and then he starts wearing Zappelli's top hat after that.
I mean, like, the top hat's cool and all, but the bowler hat is functional.
Yeah. I mean, what does he do? What does he have without that bowler hat, really?
The ability to comment on what's happening.
Yes.
True. That's but he could write a good synopsis.
You can unfreeze your body. <Everybody's fine. laughs>
I don't think that's how science works, Speedwagon.
Well, he's not the brightest button.
No, yeah.
Well, forget this is set in England as well.
Yep.
That makes it awesome, extra awesome.
It doesn't say where in England, does it? Obviously,
it kind of goes back. I know it goes to London a few times. Yeah. I don't know where this mountain pass place is meant to be. That's not England, people.
All those castles we've got.
I guess so.
Still
standing.
Most of them are in ruins. Nothing. But aren't they? Aren't the knights? Weren't they?
Yeah, they're
Tarkus and
Groom. Yeah, but who's knights? But aren't they? Mary Queen of Scots.
Yeah.
Oh my god, when I saw her, I was like, why can't we have this show as well? This looks great.
Game of Thrones, the animated.
Yeah, and like Elizabeth as like the main villain. Oh, I love that evil Elizabeth they put in there. It's great.
It was pretty amazing.
Which one was the good one in the end? Was it Tarkus or Bruford?
Bruford.
Yeah, Tarkus is definitely not good.
Well, the thing was, I thought he kind of got gypped there, but they were both good They're good guy knights from back in history, and then they got turned evil, but only one of them managed to break through the evilness.
Hang on, Tarkus had a machine set up in his castle called the Chain Neck Deathmatch.
That was their training thing.
Where he killed various knights. I can't remember how he said, but he told Jonathan how many knights he'd killed in this Chain Neck Deathmatch.
That's just how it was done back in the day.
They were unworthy.
How are you going to train a knight without using some sort of twin neck clamp with chains in the roof thing?
It's a bizarre contraption.
It is.
It's a bizarre, bloody hell.
So there's Ogre Street in London. That's where he sees a cat eating a dog.
Now, I've only been to London a few times, but that's not actually in London, right?
It definitely is.
I have to avoid it.
There are some weird streets in London.
But Speedwagon.
By the looks of things, there isn't, no.
Okay.
There is an Ogre Road in Breath of Fire 3.
That is a great way to show that the place is badass, the way a cat eats a dog.
There's snow and everything.
So you've got... Who else? So who haven't we talked about yet? George Joestar, Jonathan's dad.
Oh, he's a good character. I liked him.
I thought he was kind of a dick to his son, though.
He was, yes. But that's
but...
his adopted son, Dio, had such great manners.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's a filthy commoner, and he drinks properly, and you eat like a pig, Jojo.
Dio's a story I wasn't wanted.
What Dio does to Jojo's dog is just unbelievable.
That was right out. Right out.
It's better in the manga as well, because you see the dog...
No, it's not that!
What?
Yeah, I know, but how is it better when you get to see...
Because that makes it just like the extra... Like, if anyone out there is silly enough to think, like, I wonder what it is. In the manga, it's like, look, this is what was in there. And then you see the dog just burst out and it's on fire.
I didn't really need that. But I prefer it was on the TV because on the one end you don't have to see, you know, dog in front of eye. But also as well, your imagination, it'll always make it a lot worse than what it could be.
True. But I don't think I could have made it worse than then when you see the dog jump out. It's as bad as it could be. And I've actually seen people complaining on Facebook about that, saying, like, there was no need for that. They did not need to do that. I would love to find the comments, but people were, like, really upset by it.
Well, it's very upsetting to set a dog.
It is. And that's why it's good, because, you know, how else could Jojo possibly hate Dio more than the acts that he commits? It's the perfect setup.
The dog appears in the freeze frame of those we have lost at the end of the thing, but the other knight doesn't. I was like, that's bullshit.
That's what I told you. I don't think Dio had to push Tarkus very far.
He's a friend of the Queen. And yet Danny gets the freeze frame. Come on.
He didn't have to turn him into some sort of monster. He didn't have to stick stakes in his head or anything.
Yeah. What was the dog called again, by the way?
Danny.
Danny.
Yeah. Oh. Well, first, no, like, I barely even knew Tarkus, so whatever. Danny should get more top putting.
I agree.
I did like the way when Dio jumped out of the carriage at the start, when he came to the Joestar mansion, in a completely unnecessary way, and then, like, Tony Jazz, the dog in the face. That was amazing.
Oh, that is good, yeah. I forgot all about that. God, he is a dick.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, so in London we meet, you got Jack the Ripper, you got Wang Chun, the yellow menace stereotype.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot he comes back into it after that. So I was like, oh, at least he's gone now. I was like, no.
But I think the series as a whole does a really good job of sort of capturing that 19th century proto-pulp Penny Dreadful type storyline.
Yeah, I kind of liked it when it was Downton Abbey, but with, you know, violence. But yeah, it kind of does go off that a bit.
But I mean, if you look through things like Penny Dreadful, I think was it Varney the Vampire is the Penny Dreadful, which gives us most of the vampire mythology that people have, which is about a vampire targeting a well-to-do family, which is very similar to this. Yeah.
Wasn't a vampire yet.
No, he wasn't a vampire. You know, but he carried on once he was a vampire. That was... But yeah, the stone mask is sort of like... and also Wang Chun, to a certain extent, is sort of like the mystical foreign lands that have got magical powers and various things.
I thought the Chinese guy had was...
He got his poisons.
Yeah.
Yes.
He meant very, very, very slow-acting poisons.
Which you also think was an antidote for.
Well, yeah, what if you take a lot of the poison?
Well, they're kept in little kind of little paper sachets, you know, you could go in for a cold remedy and then realize he's actually dosed himself with the slow-acting poison thing. It's like, oh, crap. I better...
Yep, but he'd have to dose himself over the course of several weeks. So.
Yeah. And then later on, you've got the llama with his magical powers.
the mystical Tom Petty.
Yeah, Tom Petty.
When I heard that, I just started laughing and didn't stop until I saw him again.
Yeah. And his acolytes, Dire and Straits.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, this is a show where you'll remember the character names because, damn, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to do a game later on based on the names, but... It was going to be called Bizarre or Bastard. You'd have to guess whether this name was come from JoJo's or from Bastard, because that also has loads of rock and roll names. But the Bastard ones are more obscure. They're all sort of German heavy metal bands. It's I don't know most of these bands.
Oh, I want to play that game.
Well, instead you'll have to wait and play JoJo or No No, which will be the game coming up later.
Okay, very
good. Sounds fun.
Right.
We've got Zeppeli.
Oh yes, Will A. Zeppeli, the Italian. Now, it was a while between episodes. Did they ever explain why he was after these stone masks?
Yeah.
Just to destroy it, isn't it?
No, no, his father was like an archaeologist.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
And found the mask, and then everyone on board his ship was killed by someone who turned into a vampire with a mask.
That's right.
Okay, yeah.
So he
thought it must have been.
A super martial artist, Italian, or... Wait, is he Italian or Spanish?
He's Italian.
Italian. Well, I mean, like, he doesn't use any Italian, he just uses English, so it's difficult to tell.
I don't like the whole ripple power.
What?
I don't like it. Like, I never know where its limits, like, begin or end. It's like, it can do all sorts of stuff, this ripple energy.
Well, you could say the same about Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
Yes.
You are only getting kind of a taste of what it can do in this arc. It's much more creative and brilliant uses of it in Battle Energy.
Mm.
Good, good.
Like it's mostly used for punching and exploding people, in this one.
Yeah, exploding vampires. Yeah. All you gotta know is that you can transmit it through... think any living substance, or actually even indeed any non-living substance.
I think it's something to do with, like, it has to be a conductor or something, because it travels through the blood and through metal and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and there's some difference between it going through metal and through living material.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you need, like, a different kind of breathing to do it.
Yeah. Really, we need some sort of manual with diagrams. I mean, it took 20 years for Zeppeli to learn everything that he'd learnt, apparently, so...
It took really... JoJo an afternoon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
but... He's thick. JoJo's thick.
He's a natural.
He's a natural, though, yeah, that's true.
he plays rugby, he keeps fit.
That's probably why it was easy for him to learn, because his mind was very empty. He could...
Ripple through
an empty vessel to pour up the into.
The ripple could travel much more easily through him.
Yeah. Also, as well, they do kind of like a mind link. He just gets all his knowledge immediately anyway.
You know what would make rugby the best sport? If they taught all rugby players the ripple.
Or if they all play rugby the way JoJo does, where we just keep going.
I don't think that's how rugby works. I think they're thinking of American football, but...
Well, the rules might not have been quite as refined back in the...
That's true. Yeah.
Or it could have been specific rules to that, whatever private school he was going to.
Yeah. But on Zeppeli, I really liked how he demonstrated the ripple by punching a frog and breaking the stone underneath the frog.
That makes perfect sense now.
It was just kind of like, check it out, I'm going to squash this frog. And everyone's like, what?
I thought the frog was going to die. I'll be honest. Oh, God. And then Zappelli dies.
He does. He knew his death.
Yeah, he's all along.
I like the fact that, because obviously it was when Tom Petty had shaken hands with him that he saw his death. And then when Tom Petty meets JoJo later on, that he refuses to shake hands because obviously he doesn't want to know.
Because that would make Tom Petty sad. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't pick up on that little gem. That's interesting, yeah.
Because JoJo's hands are glowing as he gives it out to Tom Petty to shake, which was the same thing which was happening when they shook.
Although I'm not sure how the ripple allows you to see into the future.
No. Because, well, yeah, particularly, presumably only for other people as well, not yourself, because otherwise certain other characters later on would have perhaps used it.
Maybe he can, like, predict, because of the breathing thing, like, when you're going to take your last breath.
It was very specific, though. I mean, even as a riddle, it was pretty specific.
It's the magic of the Orient.
It was a child opening a locked door, a chained lion.
You'd think he wouldn't have went. I wouldn't have went if I knew
He knew his destiny. As long as he was doing something to stop the stone mask, who was willing to die. And then, anyway, give all his power to somebody else so they were twice as powerful as they were before.
Oh, that's true, yeah. And gives his hat away. Well, maybe not intentionally.
No.
Anyway, he's totally taking that hat.
Yeah, Speedwagon's just, I'm taking this, is that cool?
Yeah, you can take the man out of the alley, but you can't take the alley out of the man.
That's the sign.
Okay, you know the deal with Zappelli, like, growing really old? Is that because he was using the ripple to stay young, or because he gave all his power to JoJo? Or
I'm going to guess he was using the ripple to stay young, given events in the Battle Tendency.
Right, okay.
Yeah. That's true.
Because he said he'd been training for 20 years as well.
Yeah, and he looks reasonably young.
Yeah.
Also as well, Joseph in the next thing, like, he's still alive come part 3, and he's looking good for a man of his age, so I guess a ripple keeps
it. That's true, yeah. Okay. But Anzapelli, do you like his hat and tiny little mustache? I think his hat and a mustache are amazing.
I think it's a glass full of wine that sets it off.
I forgot about that.
That is an amazing scene. It's like, okay, you got to kill this vampire holding this glass of wine, but don't spill a drop, because then I'm going to go home.
I'll go home and get some more wine.
Would you wear the stone mask?
No.
I reckon I might. Pretty good.
Nah, I prefer to be able to use wine to murder people, because that's pretty classy.
Or even roses.
Oh, yeah.
That is pretty classic, right?
And I like Dio's, where'd you get all those roses from, after he throws some more at him?
Also, how are you, like, still speaking and doing things after I've decapitated you?
I do like when his face is cut in half, there's like two voices, because that makes sense.
I never noticed that.
It's just a slight echoiness, so.
That makes perfect sense.
He was protecting the room.
Yeah, he put his head in half in a very cartoon way, particularly when he puts it back together again and it's not quite straight.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I like that cartooniness. There's some more of that in the next story arc. Who haven't we talked about? Oh, Poco.
Oh,
forget that kid.
The scared kid.
See, he's one of the reasons I hate the whole mountain pass section thing. I don't know, they don't need him. Nor does anyone.
They did need him to go into the vent.
I guess so. They could have sent a ripple through. I don't know.
Listen, maybe. If Parker wasn't there, Zappelli wouldn't have died, so we needed him.
Yeah.
I guess.
And if he wasn't there, he wouldn't have found out about his sister, and his sister wouldn't have been kidnapped by
Dio,
and that wouldn't have given them the extra impetus to turn up. I like the fact that you did not get any sort of, oh, this is all us walking up to the castle, this is us getting into the castle. No, it's just like, there's the castle, next scene, we're at the castle.
We're dropping an anvil on a zombie minion's head.
Did he carry that anvil up to the roof of the castle?
Presumably, because it wouldn't be... That was just great, the fact that it was an anvil he threw at.
Yeah, it really helps the cartooniness. Because it's like, dude, you got the ripple, why are you bringing this anvil up? And it's like, oh, dude, it's going to be so sweet.
Because a grand piano was too big to carry.
Well, yeah, the other lads wouldn't help him with the piano, I guess.
Presumably he was planning on throwing that at Dio as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But just threw it at the first zombie he saw.
Yes, Doobie.
Doobie the Uncanny.
Is that the name of the zombie?
That is his name, yes, after the Doobie Brothers.
Mm. A shocking amount of zombies, like one-off zombies, get names, which I think is pretty great.
Yeah, because there's a bunch all named after the members of Led Zeppelin, isn't there?
Yeah,
they just get wiped out instantly by Straits.
Yeah, he was kind enough to introduce himself as, like, I am Straits, the great and powerful, and then they all introduce themselves, and then they all die.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, actually, the kind of, as far as design goes. I did like the one, I think it was Bonham, who had, he's got, like, half a head, and then he's got another head stuck onto that half, you know, kind of flat part, so the other head's facing to the side, but that's the one that talks.
They're talking of weird things. What about Dio's pets?
Yeah, his cat, his bird ahead of a cat, and his dog ahead of a man.
How long did he spend making those? What was that about?
How did he make them? That's what I want to know.
He's a vampire.
Yeah, presumably how he made the other, those weird zombies. But yes, it's very strange. And I like the fact that at no point is Dio ever interested in turning Speedwagon into a zombie.
It's like, why would he even need to? He's got a cat dog, man. He's good.
Yeah, it's probably because he wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he couldn't get a word in edgeways.
More irritating in the long run.
Yeah.
For somebody who is so inept, he's very rarely in any mortal danger throughout the entire 9 episodes.
He's far away on a hill just relaying the situation to anybody next to him.
Oh my god.
Even when they're in the castle. He's not in danger, he just sort of manages to hold them off by waving the sledgehammer around.
Was the plan to bring a sledgehammer, though, yeah.
Well, no, the boss is just looking at him, so I gotta look busy.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, Peggy Pocko's sister is really big on slapping people.
Should tip the guff of a vampire.
Yeah, or a little brother.
Yeah, I mean, like, slapping a kid, you're like, oh, I don't know if that's okay. But, you know, slapping a vampire full on in the face, it's kind of like, well, you got some balls, Eddie.
Oh, God.
What's your favorite zombie, if you have one?
Probably Jack the Ripper, just because of how he hides inside a horse.
Kind of a waste of a character, though. Jack the Ripper is like, you know, the mid-boss or whatever. I think my favorite guy was the dude with the really long tongue.
Oh, yeah, he is good. Yeah.
What is happening with that guy? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I have a favorite zombie. Yes. Oh.
Doobie's cool too. No, his head's full of snakes.
Yeah. Oh crap! Yeah, he's good. Yeah, I'll pick Doobie. He's good.
I think Dio spent most of his time making weird zombies.
Well, he was the experimenter, wasn't he? Because he wanted to experiment to find out how the mask worked.
I want to see how many snakes I could fit in this guy's head.
Because he was constantly trying to find what he could do. Apparently, shooting your own blood like a laser beam was one of the things.
Yeah.
Out your eyeballs.
Yes.
And that's how the castle is ruined in the modern day. You see? Bye, lady.
Oh, dear.
Now, I was going to say that the newspaper in episode 9, at first look, I thought that was some of the best English language writing I'd seen in an anime.
What did they have in it? I don't quite remember.
It was a proper English. There was one, the first headline article was about the what had been going on in the town. And it all made perfect sense. And then it had another article which they'd copied from an article from the same year from an existing newspaper. Mm. However, the date on the newspaper is not the date. It's like months ahead of when all the things are said to happen later on in episode 9.
Maybe it's an old newspaper?
Well, I think it's December. It's in December 1888. And then the very last thing in the episode, it tells you that it's what's just happened was on the 8th of February, 1888.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong on that, but I think I'm right.
Unless Jojo managed to get a few months of blissful married life.
then he sold a story to OK Magazine.
And not much was going on in England for the last few months, except for vampires.
Maybe Tom Petty wrote that, you know, with his gift of foresight and things.
Or Speedwagon's got a power like that guy out of Early Edition, where he gets the newspapers of the future delivered to his doorstep. TV show nobody's hearing.
I do remember that. I can't remember. I watched at least one episode of it, but I can't remember.
And what happens in it? He gets a paper delivered, then what?
I can't remember. I never got further than that part of the TV show.
It would usually be like, you know, oh, some tragedy's going to happen tomorrow. I must avert it. It's kind of like, I can reverse quantum leap.
Why wouldn't he just check the, the horse racing and stuff and put a lot of money down?
I got a screenshot here. 4th of December, 1888, it says on the newspaper they show.
Okay, yeah.
And the events happened in February.
Yes. The event which happens later on, yeah. When they set up on the holiday. So they've got some really good journalists in London.
But back then, you know, it was all about integrity and, you know, just getting the facts to the people.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, you see Speedwagon read the newspaper before he's late to go and see them off on the holiday, so you know it's from that day.
Oh, I felt sorry for Speedwagon when Jojo goes off.
But now he's so happy for them.
He is, but deep down he misses Jojo.
I don't know, I think he's, you know, he's been like a good pal. Like early on when Jojo... He's all trussed up after escaping a burning mansion and Arena comes in the tent room, like...
Oh my god, that's great.
He's on the kind of, like, really eloquent version of events, and he just kind of, he's like, I'll just leave those two alone.
Yeah, he was constructing this whole narrative in his head where it's like, yeah, I'm going to help him out in his time of need, and he's like, oh, a lady.
He should have just went with them on the holiday. He's like a big child.
Like a third wheel. Oh,
yeah,
on.
Exactly. Like a speed wagon.
You don't accompany your friends on their honeymoon. That's not cool.
Speedwagon, do whatever he likes.
I bet they have to convince him not to.
Yeah. Dude, you're not even allowed to come to the wedding.
Speedwagon couldn't be a third wheel. Oh.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
He had to go back to his horrible flat in Ogre Street, whatever it was called.
I can't see him at the wedding when they show the...
he didn't go to the wedding. I assume he wasn't invited because he just was commenting on it the whole time.
Jealous, that's why.
I just thought they might have Jonathan might have invited him to be the best man.
Who is the best man?
Well, you can't tell. It's just a load of generic people at church.
Speedwagon would be all like, oh, Jojo looks resplendent in his tux. And everyone would be like, shut up!
there is no checkered top hat in the audience. So.
Yeah, it's a giveaway, alright.
You can't move your hat in a church, come on.
Well, no, there's other people wearing hats.
What? How rude.
I know, exactly, how rude.
Wedding hats!
It's the 19th century. It was de rigueur to wear a hat at all times. If anyone's being rude, it's Jonathan for not wearing a hat.
Hey, it's his wedding, he'll fucking do what he wants. He saved England from the vampire menace.
Much and all as I liked his sleeveless kind of fisted North Star looking thing he wore for most of it, I really wish he wore that Sherlock Holmes hat everywhere. That was pretty great.
That'd be a hilarious cosplay. You wore your Sherlock Holmes.
I'm looking forward to the next convention now because people are getting onto this.
It's a good point. Plenty
of Jojo cosplay. Next convention.
I'd love to see a dude in like a big muscle suit, just wearing like rugby clothes. Who are you? I'm Jojo.
He hurt one of my tree trunk legs. I'm kind of over his legs too.
Oh dear.
Decent show.
Mm.
Decent show.
I mean, like, flaws and all, I think it's a good bit of fun.
Mm.
And I appreciate it for that.
Yeah. And it got even better with the next.
Yeah.
You shall come to that on a future episode.
I've only watched a few of them, but yeah, it appears to be improving considerably.
It's seeing its stride now. The material is bigger and better. It's more fun, I think, for the company to adapt.
And the end of episode 10 is just my favourite moment of television ever.
I saw you talk about it. I was like, which one was 10? And then Niall told me it was the first one, the second arc, and I was like, oh, right.
Yes.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so looking at speed record, I think they may have it. 47 chapters in 9 episodes.
Mm.
Closest I could find was Bleach, did about the same in 14 episodes.
What?
How does the new Hunter x Hunter stand up?
That's a good point. Didn't look at that.
Pretty fast, wouldn't it?
I suspect that might be pretty fast as well, yeah. It's a good point.
I'm like, the only other thing that would go at that fast a clip is any kind of thing where the episodes are condensed into like a movie length.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Mm. What's the slowest?
I don't know, well, Naruto was similar. It took 26 episodes to cover about the same ground.
Mm.
One Piece, 22. But yeah, Bleach was notable in how fast it was for everything up until they rescued the character whose name I couldn't remember in the last episode. Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Mm.
Soul Society arc. Until the end of that, they were going at a ridiculous speed, and then they had to put loads of filler in because they've been going so fast.
Yeah, I think that's when I kind of stopped watching it, because I was just like, well...
You've had your chance.
I don't know don't know how quickly Naruto goes, but One Piece currently goes about one chapter per episode.
Oh, jeez.
That's rough.
It achieves by having a very long starting theme.
It's like 3 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the full length of the song. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Recaps. And
summaries.
Episode breaks, yeah.
Yeah, I read the manga, but I only watch One Piece like in clips on YouTube or whatever. I think that's probably the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just think in about 30 years' time, you'll have to watch One Piece Kai or something, and then
yeah, I gotta get back into Kai. Isn't it like episode 20 and they're already on Namek or something? I think it's before.
I'm not too sure where it's up to. Actually.
I mean, it's fully aired in Japan, but I don't know where it is airing on the UK channel.
Oh, I just meant the kind of clip it's gone on. I think they got as far as the Cell Saga, or just to the start of it anyway.
Hmm.
Right, so that's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So now it's time for a game called
Bizarre Game.
JoJo or No-No. Righty-ho. So let's go Dwayne, Niall, Anthony in that order.
Okay.
DNA. Right.
Nice. DNA, I like it.
I've got 9 questions here and 1 tiebreaker. So you have to tell. I'm going to say something, and you have to tell me whether it's a JoJo or no-no.
I still don't know what that entails, but I'll wait and see.
You'll see. It should be clear. So, a maize, meat, and fish restaurant in Whitstable, is that JoJo or no-no?
Amazing knees.
It's a M. I don't know what it is. It's a M E Z E. Meze restaurant. That's maybe if they put an extra Z in it.
I'm going to go JoJo, because that sounds mad.
That is JoJo's Meze Meat and Fish Restaurant in Whitstable, Kent. That's 1 point to you.
Where are you getting these facts from?
I don't know either.
Okay, Niall. Mm-hmm. Comedian Paul Rust's occasional feature on the podcast Comedy Bang Bang. Is that JoJo or no-no?
No-no?
That is correct. Yes, he has a feature called New No-Nos.
I see.
I didn't even know what I would have answered there, in case it was some weird trick.
On the plus side, it's 50-50.
Yeah, true.
Okay, Anthony, he's like a bloody stream.
JoJo?
Yes, that is correct. Joseph Joestar, according to the theme tune of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Yeah. Okay, Dwayne, at 1-1 at the moment.
Yes.
A small robot, you know.
This is kind of cheating, but okay. Come on, Dwayne.
A small robot, you know.
Yes, a small robot, you know.
I'm going to say no.
That is correct. Yes, no from Ulysses 31.
Yeah, I assumed that was what you were going for.
Niall, the gene that codes non-POU domain-containing octamer binding protein.
What?
Jojo?
No, it's the NONO.
Ah!
Wow. I don't know anymore.
Okay, Absony. A country lass who dreams of being a space pilot.
No.
That is correct. No from Die Buster.
You must have put so much time into this game. It's unbelievable.
No, not really.
No, no.
20 minutes. Okay, Dwayne, back to you.
Right.
You share the lead with Anthony. Italian avant-garde composer of classical music.
What's happening?
That is correct, Luigi No-No.
Should have been Luigi Giorgio, that was just a guess.
Okay, Niall. A hair removal system exclusive to Boots.
No-No.
That is correct.
Try No-No.
Okay, Anthony, on the final question.
Oh, God.
Unless you draw with Dwayne. Had a hit with Too Little Too Late.
Giorgio?
That is correct, yes. The singer, Jojo. Righty-ho, Dwayne, you get the tiebreaker.
Alright.
A cabaret and burlesque venue in Soho, London.
I'm gonna go with Jojo.
You're correct, Madam Jojo. And you're the winner of Jojo or No-No.
I would have enjoyed that if I lost. That was fantastic.
It took me like half of the game to realise kind of what was going on. Yeah.
It is a game which existed solely for the name of the game. I came up with the name and then I thought, I've got to think of a game which goes with that name.
You probably couldn't do a quiz show on TV with that premise, yeah.
Well, I've got plans, not for TV, but I am planning that we may, later in the year, there may be an all-game episode of...
Awesome. Games are my favourite.
Just can't be pointless and do it that way.
Right, yeah. Let's have our plugs. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Plug away.
What do I do with Dwayne?
Yeah, after you.
Okay. You can find myself and Dwayne on our own podcast, Secret of the Center of Madness, available at secretofthecenterofmadness.blogspot.com. Or just look on iTunes, and also follow us on Tumblr at sotsm.tumblr.com. We just recently put up an episode on Ulysses 31, it being show number 31, so it was the only thing that we could, we'll be fitting. As for me, you can find me not so occasionally on Twitter these days, I've been busy with school, at Nicholas Cage, that's NIALLCOLAS_Cage.
Oh, wait. Oh, shit. Damn it. I am at, god damn it, D Shot in the Face Pirate as one word on DeviantArt, and I put also stuff on, I Am Often Wrong on Tumblr. That is where I put things that I draw.
Excellent. Anthony, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, just, Twitter as normal. Ant ask you, and that's the same as my Twitch. And that's it. You can spell that. Spelling out.
What are you playing at the moment on Twitch?
Nothing. I'm not even gonna lie. I've got Fable 3 ready to play, so I might play that. It's a new game. I've still not finished another one. I just buy games and then play a little bit of them and then never play it again.
Okay. I have been updating Awesome Engine again.
Oh.
Every day this year so far.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Have to catch up.
Yes, so you can find there, let me give a quick rundown of what I've been writing about. Loads of stuff about Kamen Rider shows that I've been watching. I also, before that, just before New Year, I did your 2012 search referral questions answered, where I went through my search queries and that people had been sent to by searching to find out what they're asking and try and give them an answer. Like, how much nudity does the last Queen's Blade episode have?
Oh, God, I dread to think.
I presume all of it.
I can't remember what I say. I said... How much? Too much / not enough. Delete as applicable.
Seems fair.
Yes. Also, I've looked at a breakdown of the Animage Grand Prix for 1991, 92, and 93 in relation to my 1990s TV anime posts, and a short piece on Roman, as we've discussed on this episode. And also, I've started a new series called Anime's Greatest Characters. My first post is all about Renge from Air Master.
Niall, you do not seem pleased at that.
That's just me, you know, just pushing that down into a deep part of myself. erupted at a later date at a very inopportune moment.
Maybe some of these quotes I opened the article with may have come from you. Such as, oh. Out of all the characters, Renge is my least favourite. Renge's voice literally gave me a headache. I agree that Renge's voice is super annoying. The only one I find annoying is Renge.
That doesn't sound like me. There's not nearly enough swearing in it.
So I assume we can see one up on Speedwagon soon enough.
Calling. There's the bat phone. give this a minute to cool on down.
The bank's being robbed.
Yeah, so you can find that at awesome-engine.com, and you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. And, as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/ dynamite in the brain. Our rivals. And on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the ripple that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye!
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite.